It's good to be back
here. Wonderful to see every one of you. I know there are still some missing. Because they are away preparing for, you know, certain things that are happening in the very near future. I want to say thank you for, you know, being part of our journey as we took our, well, supposed to be 3 weeks, 2 months, away. We will tell you a little bit more as to what God has put in our hearts while we are away. You know that we were not scheduled to go to Brisbane, but then God said, go. In our journey there, we had to exercise a whole lot of faith. As Pastor Selena, myself, you know, just heard God clearly. She was the one who had all the dreams, as the Lord spoke to her and ministered through her. Before we left, God just said, go. We were not very sure. We went to Melbourne first, attended the conference, met up with the pastors and all. In fact, when we arrived in Melbourne, the very night we arrived, God confirmed in our spirit we have to go already. It was already confirmed right at the beginning of our journey. And throughout our 3 weeks there, God gave us more and more confirmation as to how what he wanted us to do, although not clear. One thing very clear was he said, go there and then I will tell you what to do. So we responded by faith, you know, went there, God has given us a picture of what needs to be done, what he would like us to do, not only as individuals, but also as a church. Now that is really, really challenging. We'll update you as we go along, lah. Okay? So continue to pray. We need wisdom as to how the Lord would want us to be involved in this kingdom thing that he's doing. But one thing very clear is that, you know, the base home, okay, I want to make one statement first before y'all start speculating. I am not migrating. Okay. That's not gonna happen. But one thing very clear is that God wants us to establish our base here, to strengthen the base. That's you and I, every single one of us, to be strong in the Lord. And God has also been showing some things that He wants to do in our lives here. So, again, thank you very much for praying for us, praying with us. It is really good to be back. I know I haven't shaken everybody's hand yet, but yeah, thanks for being part and parcel of what, you know, he is doing in our lives and also in the church here. I want to share what God has placed in my heart. This is not something new. You know, the last time I spoke here was 3 weeks ago, I think. But 4 weeks ago, if you remember, we talked about the dawn of change. Yeah. Can remember? Okay. We talked about the dawn of change and how that change is coming. We talked about the story of Lazarus, right? How Jesus raised him from the dead. And there were a few things that we needed to consider, you know, God's timing. Many times we want change to happen according to our time, but God has his timing, and we need to move towards that change, and not only move toward that change, but we need to be partners with him in his kingdom for the change, not only in our lives, but also in the lives of others, right? So, sometimes God tells us that, hey, you need to remove the stone, right? Take off the grave clothes so that someone else can experience that change. And then the week after that, we talk about how we need to walk, how we have the freedom to walk in that change. And that means that, you know, we need to soak ourselves in the Word of God. We need to be saturated in God's truth, right? And we talked about how we need to seek the Father. Now, many months ago, I said this, you know, we are entering our seventh year, or this is our seventh year. This is the year of rest. Okay, and I hope that you have plotted in some time with the Lord to rest, go away, holiday with God. God, you stare at me like that means half the year already, no? Okay, you have to put some time in to go away for, it doesn't matter even if it's a short period of time, 2 days, 3 days, that's fine. I know that, you know, we cannot take, not all of us can take long periods off, but take time to be away from whatever you have just to be with God, just to be in the presence of God. And if you remember, I did mention that we, you know, as we take our sabbatical, pray towards the next season, the next 7 years, and what God has in store for us. I also mentioned that I know what's, you know, the theme for next year is already, because God gave that very clearly. Next year is, well, no, right? The rest of the years we don't. Right? Next year is the year of change. It is the year of change. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this now is because God just impressed upon my heart that some of us take perhaps a longer time to look at what change is and to, you know, see what He wants to do as far as change is concerned. So we talked about, you know, there is a season of change that is coming, not only upon the church, but I believe also upon every single one of us. There is a change that is coming. You would probably have experienced thunderstorm, heavy rain, right? Malaysia, we have thunderstorm every... In US, they don't have thunderstorms. That's one thing I learned. Once in a while, you get a thunderstorm, okay? A few weeks of the year. Here, you know, it's like... The thing about this is, there are times whereby, search deep a bit, okay? You experience this thunderstorm. Think of the worst one you've ever experienced, okay? For me, probably... when I was on my motorbike, riding from here to Butterworth, go to work. Okay. And almost as good as cycling, because that's as fast as I could go. The motorbike was going like this. Right? Thunder, lightning, wind, everything on the bridge, and I can remember that. And then, you probably have different experiences. When the storm died down, clear sky, sun comes up, your visual senses, your hearing senses all change, right? Because before that, you know, you feel the rain, you hear the thunder, you see the power of that, you know, thunderstorm. And then, within minutes, maybe because, you know, I was traveling and then the other side not raining. Within minutes, everything quiets down. No more rain. Wind dies down. Okay. Maybe slight drizzle. Sun comes up. Can even see a rainbow. And you feel, sometimes, before we experience that change in our lives, we need to go through a storm. There is a storm, perhaps, in our life that we need to tackle. Maybe in the last couple of weeks, when you hear that message, yeah. And then you said, but God, what about now? What about now? And maybe for weeks, months, perhaps even years, you have been thinking, praying, asking God, you know, something needs to be done. And as the Lord impressed this upon my heart, this message is not new. All right. But the Lord just said, remind the people again. Remind the people again that there is a change, a dawn of change that is coming. But sometimes we go through a storm before we see it. And sometimes we live in a situation whereby we feel that storm. We feel it hitting at us. We feel it. You know, we hear it. We see it. We don't know what to do about it beyond our control, right? And it's something that we need to go through. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Here the disciples was with Jesus. And verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples, so the disciples get into a boat, go on ahead of him to the other side. This is the other side of the lake, right? While he dismissed the crowd, okay, this is immediately after he feeds the 5,000, asks all the crowd to go home, he gets the disciples to go across the lake. And after he dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. And the story goes on to say, you know, it was in the middle of the night on the fourth watch, verse 25, and Jesus went out with them walking on the water. But before that, verse 24 says, evening came, he was alone, or right, Jesus was alone. The boat was already considerable distance in land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now, these disciples entered a storm. Did they plan it? No. These are not, you know, the storm chasers. Okay, there's a storm, let's go in. They were going about their normal thing. In fact, Jesus told them, this is what you are to do. Get into the boat and cross the lake. Now, a lot of times we say, you know what? I'm minding my own business. In fact, I'm doing God's business. I'm being obedient to God. Jesus was the one who told them, get into the boat, go across the lake, right? And now I am facing a storm. A couple of things can happen to us. Many people get discouraged, disillusioned. Why? Because they go through storms. And they go through storms not because, you know, there's a difference between, you know, what we call standing up for Jesus. You know, let's go and, you know, preach the word in this land where the people are, you know, chop off your heads or whatever lah. All right? And die, never mind. You know, I'm ready to face the storm. Against, sometimes we are just doing our thing. We're not storm chasers. We're not people who go and look for trouble, okay? So we just, in fact, we are learning to listen to what God is saying, and we are obedient to what God is saying. Get into the boat, cross the lake, you'll go first. This is what I want you. And then we face a storm. Not fair. How many of us have been in that situation and you say, God, why you ask me to cross the lake now? You know there's a storm coming, right? then sometimes we get discouraged, we get disillusioned, and we give up. When the storm comes, Peter, you know this story already, we've, you know, talked about this story so many times. Peter decides and says, you know, Jesus, if that's you. In fact, before that, the disciples say it's a ghost, you know, Jesus comes walking on the water, right? You read on the passage. Jesus comes walking on the water, and the disciples were all afraid. They said, it's a ghost. Now, there are a couple of things we can do. If you're in a boat, right? There are a couple of things you can do. One, the ideal thing to do is what Peter did. Come on. Exercise faith. If you're in a boat, and Peter says, you know, and this is your friend, right? Your buddy. You've been with him, imagine this, huh? You've been with Peter for a couple of years now. Okay? And you've been with him doing almost everything together. You are a, you know, tight-knitted group, click together. You guys just click together. And your good friend says, I'm going to get out and go to walk water. What are you going to do? Bojio, ah, okay, I'm coming along with you. Huh? That's one thing you could do. The negative response would be, you sure or not? There's this storm coming in here, you know. And in fact, the Bible goes on to say, you know, Peter walked on water and then he began to see what, this is not, you know, a mild kind of thing, right? Because Peter saw the storm and he began to sink. So, I can imagine this is powerful storm, right? And I can imagine, let your imagination go a bit, perhaps some of the disciples were saying, hey, you sure or not? You want to get out there in the middle of the storm, in the eye of the storm, so to speak. Maybe when the storm comes, some of the disciples would say, you know what? We can do this. You stay there. You stay there. We all row together. You know, you take care of this. You take care of that. And someone rises up and strategically plans to overcome the storm. Can be done. And sometimes we do that. But the thing is this. Today I want to ask us this question. Where was Jesus? In the midst of the storm. And if you need a title for this message, title it, God is in the midst. In the midst of the storm. Many times in our life, we choose to stay with familiar people. We could say, okay, let's huddle up and see what happens. Not very sure. Oh, if that's Jesus, ask him to come to me. How many of us have faced storms in our life and said this? Lord, I'm in a boat and I need you here and I need you now. Because this boat is being tossed by the wind. And the waves, whatever your boat is, whether it's your relationships, whether it's your work, your family, your, you know, studies, your career, whatever that is, and you're going through a storm, for some of us could be, even be ministry, we say, God, right here, I need you right now. But where's Jesus? Jesus is asking us to move forward. He is in the midst of a storm and we refuse to get out of where we are at and we choose to huddle up and not rise up. We choose to huddle up and not rise up. I remember when I was little, maybe about 7, 8, years old, about there. I would stay at home with my sister alone. My parents would go out dinner, and neighbors would keep an eye on us. Okay, and I have this neighbor friend. He's maybe 10 years older than us, just about there. He would always come over and play with us, take care of us and all that. Okay, there was one particular night when my parents went out for I don't know what, meeting, dinner, whatever. And he came over. Now our fence with the neighbor, you know, this old fashioned fence, like this high one. So you just jump over lah. Okay, so he would jump over, we would climb over. Cannot jump that high that yet at that point of time. So he would just jump over and he would come. So one night, he jumped over, came and knocked at the door. I was in the hall. Now, the door from where we were in the living room, it's probably there to, about here. Okay, so I was on the couch with my sister and he came over and he knocked on the door. And we're like, oh, what's that? You know? This was our reaction that time, 7, 8 years old, I don't know. Maybe a little bit more, 9 years old. My sister, okay, what's that? You know, and this, and we know it's a person, but we didn't know who. Okay. And then we took all the cushion, and we cover ourselves. Okay. And we were half playing, half giggling, and okay. And that went on for about an hour, you know. So my neighbor was standing, and then he was a little bit frustrated. After a while, he went off. Then he came back again because he knew that my parents were not in, right? And very often when my parents not in, he just comes over, plays with us and all that stuff. So he comes with, like, oh! And little kid, Then finally, after about an hour, we said to each other, hey, it's the neighbor, okay? And then we went over to open the door. Now, the door was, there are two doors. There was a grill door and then a wooden door with a glass on it. So cannot see the face, I can see the figure. Alright? So, right at the beginning of our adventure, we really didn't know who it was. Okay? And then, we were somewhat afraid, but we huddled up. After about 5 minutes, we said, hey, it's the neighbor lah. Okay. But he never say anything, you know. After about 10 minutes, we figured that the chances of this being our neighbor is very, very high already. Okay. But we didn't do anything about it, you know. We didn't do anything about it until about an hour later, I went and opened the door. Okay. And say, who are you? Okay, I opened the door, knowing that it was my neighbor. I went there, opened the door, and this is the first thing he said. What are you doing there? So long. I still remember what he said. What were you all doing, or what are you, or whatever, doing there so long, for such a long time? And then, no answer, of course, I don't know how to answer, we were just there, you know. Do you know it wasn't very sure? We figured it was our neighbor. Wasn't very sure, but that was it. And then he said this. Now no time to play already. I remember he said, no time to play already. That was the end of our night. So we spent our night under the pillow, okay, fooling around, giggling with each other. And that was our night. Sometimes, when you don't know what's happening, we have to walk towards it. Sometimes in our life, we face certain situations where we are in doubt. God is saying, hey, I've asked myself many, many times. I cannot give a concrete answer at this point of time. Okay. With full confidence, although I would like to, honestly speaking. If I was in that boat, what would I do? Would I say, Jesus, would you come? Or would I be like Peter, because he's the only one who walked on water, right? Say, Lord, let me come. let me come to you. And my challenge for us today is this. Number one, sometimes we don't ask for storms. In fact, we are even obeying the Lord. And when storm comes, we must very quickly ask this question, Lord, where are you? Because that's where I want to be. And very often, He is in the midst of the storm. He comes in the midst of the storm. Sometimes, we walk our Christian walk, our life, knowing that there is a storm ahead. The disciples in this situation didn't know. Daniel chapter 3, we had three good friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel chapter 3. And the situation at that point of time was King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he built this big idol, and he made a declaration, all right, you know, every time you hear the music, this is what must happen. So this golden image was 90 feet high. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1 tells us that. You know, it was 90 feet high, set up in the province of Babylon, and then he summoned everybody and declared that this is what will happen. All right? That when you hear the music, you find that in verse 5, when you hear the music, everyone who must bow down. In verse 6 says, whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the burning furnace. And there's these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refuse. Verse 12 said they paid no attention to what was happening. They paid no attention to it. Why? Because they wanted to honor and follow God. They knew there was a storm ahead. In this case, fire. They knew there was fire ahead because they chose to obey God. Sometimes in our lives, we know that fire will come. Sometimes we don't know. Get into the boat, cross, we don't know that there's a storm. Sometimes we know that there's a fire that will come. And these guys knew it because it was proclaimed. And you read on the story, it says that they chose to obey God and disobey this king. They chose not to bow down to the idol. They chose to stand up before the Almighty God. In fact, they chose to face the fire. And the story goes on that King Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the fire. We'll look at that in a bit. And then Jesus, where is he found? In the midst of the fire. Jesus is found in the midst. And we read that, you know, the king said this. Verse 24, right? He leaped to his feet in amazement. And he asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? He said, verse 25, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods. I mean, it was Jesus there. He didn't know that it was Jesus, right? Jesus is in the midst of the fire. Let's draw back a little, pull back a little bit, huh? Go back to these three guys. Declaration made. Everybody must bow down when the music is played. Right? Now, how many of us, if you're in that situation, would then say, God, please do something about it now before the next time the music is played? Yeah? Lord, I need you now. We are in trouble. Do something about the situation or do something about the coming fire. Okay? Let it snow now. Something like that. Drowse out the fire. Or, you know, hail and thunderstorm, break the idol down so that we don't have to bow, nothing to bow down to. That would, a lot of times, be our prayer. If we are honest with ourselves, huh? Yeah. Do something about our situation. God didn't do anything. Why? Jesus was in the midst of the fire. It was a test of faith to see if we would arise, face the storm, or in this case, face the fire. To stand up for Jesus. Say, God, I will follow you no matter what it takes. I choose the fire. I choose to follow you. And then, only after that, did they encounter God. Only after they said, yes, die lah, I will still follow. They were bound, nothing happened yet. Thrown into the fire, then only they encountered Jesus. Because Jesus was in the midst of the fire. A couple of things happened in that fire. The king said, you know, this is, you know, the king got really, really upset. You can read that from verse 19 onwards. You know, he was furious, it says. Alright, verse 19. He was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie and throw them into the blazing furnace. Verse 21, this man wearing robes, trousers, turbans, their clothes were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. Then the king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Again, they were tied, nothing happened, fell in. Then the king leaped to his feet, all right, because of what he saw. I don't know. Help us see a couple of things that happened to them. How God was involved in some of these things. You know, sometimes when we are bound, about to be thrown into the fire, faith comes very, very small. Right. First thing that happened was this. He heated the furnace up 7 times, right? But God was already at work. And I see God's hand at work because God is saying, these enemies that you have, the strongest of them, Nebuchadnezzar's prized men, they were first one to be destroyed. The people that bind you up, the situations that bind you up, God is going to firstly remove them. So these guys, the best men, strongest, toughest, elite force, who had the task of throwing these 3 guys into the furnace, they were the first one to go. You know, the Lord, as I read that, the Lord just impressed upon my heart. Sometimes we don't realize it, but the situations, He's going to remove the situations first. Even before we face the fire, right? Or while we are facing the fire, these things that bind us, God's going to remove them. Whatever those things are, God's going to come and remove them. And then the second thing that God's hand, that shows God's hand is God's protection upon these three men. You know, the Bible tells us that these men were untouched. Verse 27. That they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor their hair, nor their head, nor the hair of their heads were singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Nothing. If you have been to a barbecue before, you go back, you smell like the barbecue. Right? If you sit next to the fire, you smell like the fire. And this is sitting next to the fire. Untouched. The storm, and in this case, the fire, not only had no effect on them, it had no residue left on them. No smell. Whatever. They were right there. But because Jesus was there, in the midst of the storm, they walk away without any residue. Now, we need the confidence and the assurance that even if we go through the fire with Jesus, because He's there in the midst, when we walk away, we don't walk away smelling terrible. We don't walk away being burnt. We don't walk away with a limb because we were hurt. We walk away with no residue of the fire whatsoever. Untouched. That's what happens when Jesus is in the midst. And then, the third thing that comes is this. So the first thing is, you know, the things that bind us, okay, Nebuchadnezzar's prized men are removed. Protection and the effects of the fire are not there. And third thing, there is a proclamation and a promotion. Because we read that in verse 29, and King Nebuchadnezzar said this, you know, praise be to God, to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then verse 29, it says, that's verse 28, verse 29 says, therefore I decree that the people of any nation, any language, who say anything against this God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, will be cut into pieces, okay, put to death, right? For there is no other, that for no other God can save this way. Verse 30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the province, in the province of Babylon. Change if we are ready to face the storm entitles us to a promotion and a proclamation of who God is. Because God is in the midst of, if there is no storm, we don't need God. No storm. Because God works best in difficult situations. God is always in the midst. And therefore, for some of us, we need to learn how to embrace the storm and the fire. Because when we learn how to embrace the storm and the fire, and when we get through that, couple of things happen. We see how God works. And when we see how God works, we can then proclaim and declare His mighty power. When we see how God works, when He takes us through that storm and that fire, we see a promotion in our life, especially in our spirit. He takes us to the next level in the spirit man. And that's what He wants to do with us. That's what He wants to do with us. storms will come. The fire will come. The storm will come whether you expect it or not. The fire will come if we choose to stand up for Jesus. It will come. Imagine what would happen if Peter chose not to walk towards Jesus and he said, you know, come, let's try to row as best as we can. Will the storm subside? Probably not. I don't know. But it was when Jesus got on the boat with Peter that the storm died down. And we need to arise. We need to be assured right now. For some of us who are facing storms and fire, you're anticipating change, yes, but at the same time, you are going through a storm or a fire. We need to arise and not be discouraged because Jesus is in the midst. The storm will die down. The fire will not touch us when we are face to face, when we choose to walk with God. When the storm is there, we must walk towards God and not huddle with men. And that is a warning and a challenge for us as well. Very often it is so easy to huddle. But we need to arise. God is the only one who can bring lasting change upon our lives. As we look forward to change, beginning internally, know that He is the only one who can bring that lasting change. Not this world, not even the people in this world, but only God. The storm dies down. Fire cools down, as it were, when we meet Jesus. When we are there with Him. Promotion comes when we decide to face the fire. My prayer for us right now, as the Lord challenges us, some of us I know are going through storms and fire. Some of us, we are assured that there is a change and we're looking forward for that change. Whatever it is, big, small. This must be a change that is God ordained. Okay? Don't look for changes that is not of God. Alright? Very often we can get trapped. The devil will come and deceive us and says, this is the change that you need. This is the change that you need. It's not the change that we need. We must look for the change that comes from God. And as we are anticipating that change, perhaps fire and storms will come. But today, be assured that God is in the midst. Right now, if you are going through fire, say this, thank you, God. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. I know that's tough, right? I know that is hitting a chord at some of us right now. You know, you are just waiting to, Lord, let's get over this fire right now. Let's get over this storm right now. You know, you just can't wait to get out of it. You can't wait. God, do something. But we all just sit down now. You know, get up, walk towards Jesus. He's right in the eye of the storm. It's okay to be tied up, thrown into the fire, because that's where Jesus is waiting for us. And so right now, for some of us, we need to learn how to give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. Because that takes us to the next level. Say, God, You put me in the midst of this storm. You asked me to cross the lake. I'm walking in obedience. And I'm anticipating not only a deliverance from this storm, not only that the storm dies down, You know. But right now, even before I see that, I want to give you thanks because you will take me to the next level. This storm will be a catalyst to take me to the next level. This fire is going to be the catalyst for my promotion. It's going to be the platform for the declaration of who God is. Amen. And so let's learn today. Say, God, this is where I am. This is the storm. This is the fire. Whether we actively know that, yeah, that's a fire coming, or we, you know, we were just doing our own thing, and then this storm hits us. Say, thank you, God. I'm ready for this. Because as I face this, as I walk through this, there is a change that will come. A declaration and a proclamation of who you are in my life. There will be a promotion. First of all, in my faith level, because I'm walking on water. Because I'm going into the fire. There will be a promotion in our faith level. So let's learn to not be discouraged. The thing that the devil wants us to do is to turn back. That's Jesus. Now turn back, because that's where the storm is. Turn back. The thing that the devil will want us to do is to bow down and not face the fire. We need to arise and stand up. And the thing that we need to do right now is to give thanks. Don't be discouraged, but give thanks. Not an easy thing to do. Don't be discouraged, but give thanks. Not an easy thing to do. He will take us through. There are many times in our days when we were in Melbourne, and also especially in Brisbane, where we told God, God, we don't know what you want us to do here. We are running out of resources. We are running out of ideas. We are running out of everything. But you call us to be here. We're going to stand firm. You show us. With the little that we have, we will continue to exercise faith. You know, sometimes you go through fire, faith becomes smaller and smaller. You know, but you stand. You got to stand. And then when you stand, boom, you see God's hand there. Why? Because He's in the midst. He's doing something. And I declare today that He is doing something in your life. He's in the midst right now of your life. Your storm, your fire, He's right there. And we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, not on the people, not on the storm, not even on our buddies in our boat, okay? Fix our eyes on Jesus. And He will deliver us. Let's bow our heads. As we bow our heads in prayer, just want us to spend a little bit of time with the Lord right now. Just you and God. Okay, because the only way we can go through the storm is we fix our eyes on Him, because He is the one that takes us through the storm. He is in the midst of the storm. He is in the midst of the fire. And you say to the Lord, Lord, thank you. Tough to say, but say thank you, God, for this storm. I thank you for this storm. Lord, I do not understand it. I do not even like it. But thank you, because you are in the midst. I wish I didn't have to go through this storm. But I thank you because you are in the midst. God, I know that you take me through this storm because you want a promotion for my life. You want a promotion for my life, and you want to see change in my life. Help me, God, to be willing. And you surrender that storm or that fire into the hands of God and say, God, Forgive me if I've been focusing on my friends in the boat. And I've missed looking at you. Forgive me, Lord, if I've been focusing on the storm or the fire. Forgive me if I've been focusing on the ropes that tie me down. And you surrender that storm, that fire, the situation that you are in right now to the Lord and say, God, thank you. Because I know you are a God who never fails. Your promises are true. You are faithful. And greater things are in store. I will fix my eyes on you. Would you say that to the Lord right now and give thanks to Him? Only you are God. Only you are God. We are in awe of your presence. And so God, we choose this day to encounter you, even if it's in the midst of the storm. We choose this day. So Father, I pray right now for every single one of us, Lord, that you would stir faith once again in our lives. Faith once again. Lord, we break every form of discouragement in Jesus' name. We break every form of deception in Jesus' name. Every hurt, we remove it in Jesus' name. And we look to you. We look to you. We look to you for healing. Lord, let your healing come. We look to you for restoration. We look to you for deliverance. We look to you, O God, for provision, for protection. We look to you because in you are all things. Thank you, God, for the journey that we are in right now. Thank you because you are the captain. Thank you because, Jesus, you are the King. And you are the Lord. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen.